Chris, we're back.
Oh, we are.
Well, because they stopped making movies for a little bit.
Yeah, they did. They did.
This movie should have come out a year ago. We're now, okay, so everybody knows, we are doing a trailer breakdown of Mission Impossible 7, Dead Reckoning, Part 1. The 7's not in there, but, you know.
No. But it's the 7 anyway.
But it's the
7. That's how we keep track of them.
Yeah. So, MI7. Oh, my God. This trailer.
It's a good trailer.
Makes me want to go see the movie. It's not, I would say Fallout was a better trailer for like me being like, oh, yeah, they're upping the stakes.
Yeah.
But I really like this trailer. I love the music. So
it seems to set up a lot of to expect from the film, not just expectations, but a lot of like it's not that it's giving away anything, just that it's like making you think, whoa boy, what's going to happen in this one?
Yeah, because I have no idea. Because I mean, this cast is stacked. We've got Tom Cruise, Haley Atwell, Rebecca Ferguson, Palm Clementif, Vanessa Kirby, Simon Pegg, Kari Elles, Shea Whigham, Ving Rhames, S.A. Morales replacing Nicholas Holt, and Henry Cerny coming back as Kittredge. There are a couple other people. I'm not going to say them because I don't know who they are. And if you don't want to get spoiled for that, there are no spoilers in this trailer review, but there are guesses because I'm going to guess on things. There's things I want.
I've already guessed like three or four things just watching it.
Okay. So just so in case you don't want to, this is for Travis Bowe, who doesn't like to watch trailers and also doesn't like spoilers. Turn this off now, Travis, if you don't want to hear wild.
Just know we like the trailer.
Yeah. Just know it's great. It's great.
It's great.
A good trailer by all.
Yes.
All right. Now that Travis is gone, let's get down to it. This is a short trailer. It's a 2-minute trailer. The 2 minutes.
We're a year out still, almost a little over a year out
for it. Because we've had three different dates for this. It was originally in July of May of 2001, then July of this year.
Then September of this year.
Then
November.
Now we're July. May. Is it May again?
May and now it's July. It was May, then it got moved to July again.
2023.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it got moved up though.
To May?
I really would. Yeah.
It might because, I mean, I know I'm amped for it.
I know.
As we've learned with Tom Cruise does not do movies to go stream.
No, he likes to take his time with them. And I mean, they haven't even started shooting part two yet.
Yeah, because that was originally what was supposed to happen.
They're back to back. Yeah. But this thing's been shooting since 2020, and they just recently finished shooting it. So, I mean, yeah.
Mostly on Tom Cruise's dime, it feels like.
Exactly.
I feel like it's just his will that has kept this movie from turning into something like just like it was never going to go away. It's too big.
It's too big. Yeah.
It's too big to go away. But I was always worried the whole time, like, are they going to get what they want?
Yeah.
They're going to get what they want.
Well, it was the same thing with Top Gun. You know, it was supposed to come out in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you're hearing stories now about how they had to change. They changed music and they did all sorts of stuff over the break through it, you know. So it's the movie it is now because of what happened. So I'm grateful for that. And I think this is going to be the same thing, you know.
Let's start at the beginning because that's a good place. Very good place to start. Yeah. Let's start there because there are a couple things I wanted to go over, and let's go over the first like 15, 20 seconds of this trailer.
Yeah.
So the trailer begins with a voiceover.
Yep.
Right off the bat, we know it's Kittredge.
Yep.
So Kittredge is back. We see a bunch of different venues. This is the first time we've ever started on a horse.
Yeah. Or horses in general with the Mission Impossible.
It's our first Mission Impossible horse. Can't wait to name him.
It's kind of a, there's a lot of, James Bond illusions in this. This is one of them.
There is
daylights.
I watched a couple of other people talking about this trailer, and they've all like, you know, they're all like, nothing against these movies, but this is the most James Bond trailer, that has come out for an MI movie. Now, the first,
but it's also the most Mission Impossible trailer too, because it's so much like Fallout in the look of it and the feel of it.
Yeah,
like it's a direct sequel, even though it's probably its own story, but it obviously continues on from there, you know, so.
Yeah. So the first 30 seconds we see a man on a horse. I assume it's him. And then we see Munich and Germany and club, and we see that you're fighting for the so-called greater good, and it's Kittredge talking about it being over, and that they're trying to their chance to control the truth, the concept of right and wrong. And what we're seeing in the background, we see a room with a man with a white, I'm going to consider, I assume this is the bad, a bad guy. He is the one we see later in this, thing that has the little, the tiny mask on.
Yeah. I believe that's Shea William.
Yeah. And he's walking in a room of guys with typewriters. Did you see that?
It looks like the CIA, but not.
But it's like old school, like you can't hack.
Maybe it's that place where Kitchen got sent in Alaska.
Well, here's my thing. When I watch this, is Kittredge good? And will Kittredge live through this movie?
That's a good question.
Or is what we're seeing in this the attack on whatever Kittredge has going on or has been doing? Because there is that they cut this up into different pieces. And if you put it together, Shea Whigham's character walks in with a briefcase. Then then he's there and hands something to Kittredge.
Yep.
And then he puts on the tiny little mask and these little green explosive things explode. Really cool.
Yeah.
I assume green is bad. So green's going to kill you. It's definitely poison. But in the scene that begins this trailer, Kittredge is talking to Ethan.
Yep.
In like some clearing smoke. There's already smoke in the room. And I'm trying to put together in my mind what they're doing. I'm like, oh, have they already done this attack? And now he's trying to get him on his side. Are we in a bad place? Like, are we currently in not Spectre, because I'm thinking James Bond, but are we in the
Syndicate?
Yeah, are we in the syndicate style place? And this is like the end of the Syndicate, kind of like saying, yeah, you keep fighting for right and wrong. We're not there anymore. There's no more right and wrong. There's no more good old US of A. You know, we're fighting for these bigger ideas, which has always been, you know, the way these movies worked from the original, which was 27 years ago. Let's bring that up. By the time this movie comes out, it will have been 27 years since the original. Things have changed. And I think they're going, I don't know if he's going rogue again. I don't think so. I mean, I really hope not. I hope that he's not going rogue. He's just not joining this new faction. And I don't know if Kittredge is involved in it. I just, you know, great trailer has you wondering the whole time. So
yes, exactly. But I do love that they're playing off the great sequence from the first one,
yes.
The very upset sequence, only without the Dutch angles this time.
Yep.
Well, so far, we don't know if the scene has them again, you know.
And then you know, also something we need to talk about in these opening moments. There's a sand mission. There is mission in sand. So when they come in and there's like a breaching scene where they come through a door, that's definitely Tom Cruise because he's about a foot shorter than everybody else.
And he can sell it in his facial features that it's him, even under that mask.
Yeah. So Tom Cruise show a mask. Oh, I love masks. Love a good mask. Yeah,
exactly.
So he shows up. That's the only one of two masks that we see. The other mask is what I'm calling tiny mask right now.
Yes.
The bad guy wears.
Which is really cool looking.
It looks like Dr. Mindbender from that crappy G.I. Joe movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very like German, like high, like Dieter Sprocket style, like avant-garde German thing. So can't wait, whatever that design is, can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
So they're on a mission. It looks like Rebecca Ferguson's there. It looks like, I can't tell if Elsa seems to be with them. I can't tell if that is Hawkeye that she's talking to at the beginning of the clip.
Oh, yeah.
Because I heard he's coming back. You see the side of his head. Do you think they're killing him off?
Oh, that'd be awesome. I feel they're going to kill off Rebecca Ferguson from the way this trailer plays it.
Yeah, this trailer feels like they're killing
her. Either that or they're going to hurt her really badly. And it's Ethan's trying to get back.
Because I don't know what Hayley Atwell's character is in this, but she seems more like an inexperienced whatever. She doesn't seem like, I mean, we've now got Ilsa is now a super spy at the level of
Ethan.
So is she on a mission with him? And there's a MacGuffin. Of course there is.
Yeah,
Mission Impossible movie. There's this cool key with like two sides to it that shows up.
Where Ethan does his his sleight of hand magic again.
I was so happy to see
that. I was so happy to see that.
And that happens right at the moment that the cue comes in with the Mission Impossible theme music. And also we get Max's daughter. Vanessa Kirby, White Widow. What's her actual name like in the movie? Like, is she like, does Max has a, does she have a name, or is she just the white? I mean, she's in the credits as White Widow.
Yeah, I think she has a name, but I can't remember what it is.
I can't remember either.
But it's probably something like Max as well, you know?
Maxine too. Maxine Jr.
Max Jr.
She's Max Jr. There is a car chase. They're in a little Italian job style, Alfa Romeo, Fiat, whatever. I'm such a gearhead. All you gearheads out there, tell me what kind of car it is. And then we see a submarine like having something burst near it. We get a quick shot of Luther.
Sit down.
Of course. Poor guy is. I don't think there's going to be much Luther walking at this point. I think we're beyond that.
And then
we've got they're in what I can't tell if it's it looks like Venice.
Yeah, it looks like the sequence of the first movie too.
Yep. It's got Venice. It's got Ilsa and S.A. Morales having a knife. S.A. Morales is a knife guy.
Yeah.
In this movie, he's knifeman. He's a true knifeman. So super excited to see what they're doing. The one thing I will say, I don't think she's wearing the eye patch because her eye gets cut out. I think she's doing the eye patch because she has to shoot a shot in the sun.
Yeah.
And that eye patch keeps her from having any sort of glare on her.
I agree.
You agree? Okay, good.
Yeah, I don't think she loses an eye. I don't think they do Thor to her.
Do you think she's gonna live past this mission, or is she going to pass this key on to? I mean, because she's in Venice.
Yeah,
and she's with. There's I don't know if they're flashback scenes, but there's a scene with them in Paris where they're like canoodling.
Yeah.
So I don't quite know where they're going with that.
No, I don't either. That's what I'm interested to see where they're going. And this movie's everywhere. It's all over the place.
Well, they don't want you to know. And I think, and then it takes a minute, 33 seconds of a 2 minute and 10 second clip for them to get to the musical cue. And this is Lauren
Bonf. Lauren Bonf again. Yeah. Bonf.
He does this so well because it is not only the original music, but it's also his music from Fallout,
yeah,
which I guess is now our theme song, kind of like how Fast and Furious has kind of a underlying like dun 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 dun, like that's their like theme song now when stuff happens. The same thing is happening here, because at first I gotta tell you, when I first saw this, I was not super stoked about the music.
Yeah,
I thought, I was like, what's happening? Why isn't it like a sizzle reel? And why aren't we getting like some crazy music? Instead, it was, you know, I guess I'm spoiled because you watch Love and Thunder and you get Sweet Child of Mine. And then you see this and you're like, oh, it's kind of like a little orchestral thing. It was real quiet at first, but I mean, the dissonant tones got me going about 30 seconds in. I'm like, all right, I'm good with this.
Yeah.
So obviously we meet Max in some sort of nightclub. There's a scene where Ethan is running from thugs. So I assume he's going to be going to save Max. And then we have a boat shot. Ilsa has become boat worthy. In the last movie, it was
Ethan
and Benji Luther.
Yeah, Luther, exactly.
And now Ilsa is in the boat. Have you noticed Benji always drives the boat?
Yeah.
He also, didn't he drive the van? In Ghost
Protocol?
Yeah.
But also in three. No, yeah. Good. Four. That's what I was thinking about. Four.
We'll have to watch when we come back with three. We have to see if there's any more driving by Benji when he shows up. Because he's really still the lab guy.
Yeah.
Where we are right now. But and I can't tell where they are in a couple of their shots. But
yeah.
And the only thing that bummed me out was when I saw Next Year, and I was just like, man.
I know. It was supposed to come out this like Thanksgiving area, but I wish it was.
And then trains.
Yeah,
we forgot to talk about trains.
Don't forget about the train, because that's like another throwback to the original one.
That's the this old school like vintage train and Palms on it, and she's fighting people. And I was trying to connect the clothes being worn, and it looks like when S.A. Morales is fighting him on the top of the train, he's wearing the same thing he's wearing when he jumps, does his base jump.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the same thing when he and Haley Atwell, when he grabs her from falling off the train.
Yeah.
I guess that's when the front car disconnects and we see that at the in the trailer, like the front of the locomotive goes off the cliff.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, and I'm sure you're thinking the same thing. Is this his big stunt? Do you think that that base jump is his big stunt and that he is going to actually land
on the train
in one shot?
That's a good question.
In a way that they can't fake it.
Yeah.
Because why would they show the part that's the base jump? Because I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of a step down. It's just a base jump. The man's jumped from the stratosphere.
Yeah.
So, he's also hung onto an airplane. So I'm not like, okay, well, he base jumped. I see people on YouTube base jumping.
Yeah. 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 But if he was doing like the James Bond thing in GoldenEye where he's landing on a plane or a helicopter or a train or something like that, then I can see it, you know?
Yeah. If he lands on the train, I'm going to be impressed.
Yeah.
Because the logistics of getting that train to not one kill you when you land on it and land on it correctly is going to be awesome. So
yeah,
super stoked. Are they throwing us a red herring a year early and this isn't the big stunt? Everyone keeps talking about it's the big stunt. Do we know that for sure?
No, because remember in 5, we thought the big stunt was him hanging from the plane. And that first thing out the gate, there he is hanging on the plane. And the big stunt they ended up pushing was the underwater holding his breath thing for 6 minutes, you know?
I think it's a red herring. I think we're going to get a bigger thing. The only thing I can't place and figure out is there's a scene where he's wearing a blue suit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when he does most of his running, but he does it at night. And then he's also doing it during the day. So there's going to be a lot of running as it should be. But at the end, you see him pop out of this little hatch and then he's running kind of in the dunes, but he's still wearing the same blue suit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some sort of, I don't know what it is yet. Because I'm trying to connect what he's wearing basically to each scene.
Yeah.
It's a different suit than he's wearing when he's with Haley Atwell, when he's in the car, because he's wearing a 3-piece suit with no coat and just the vest. And then in this scene, he's wearing a blue suit with no vest. So I'm like, all right. And then there's also, we don't know. I don't know if S.M. Morales is going to kill Ilsa in that fight.
Or wound her mortally, you know, whatever.
Because at some point he's got the key and she had the key. So I'll be interested to see who they kill. I hope they let her live. And if they kill off Hawkeye, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good with that.
There's only two people I know that even care that Hawkeye would be alive. So no. And you know who you are out there. But yeah, I'm fine with that. Kill him off. If Kittredge is a bad guy, it's almost a little too the
expected.
The old guy who ran the CIA Black Ops is the bad guy. Okay, fine.
It's a little too Phelps.
It is a little too Phelps. It's a little too because we had bad guys in Fallout. You know, we had King Stash. Well, he was the bad guy, really. But there's a lot of people in the syndicate that were probably embedded in there. So I hope that's not what it is. And then our last scene is this Black Forest. I assume it's the Black Forest. We're in Germany. Maybe, I don't know exactly where this was shot. I'm gonna wait and let that again. I want to start a new thing for our show, and they're called breadcrumbs. Oh. And what'll happen is, in each time we do an episode, if someone says we missed some stuff, we will come back to it and talk about it. We will just email us or text us and tell us what we forgot. And we'll talk about these breadcrumbs. We can do it on this because this is coming out tonight or tomorrow. But as the show goes on, we can have like breadcrumb sections where we just talk about things that people wanted to talk about that was left out. Great trailer. In summation, awesome trailer. I'm super stoked. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
It's got me excited for part 8 now, or part 2, if you will.
Also, what is that eyeball at the end?
Yeah, that's what I don't know.
It's the same. Is it the same pattern that they showed earlier that was like a pattern I was seeing at a club?
Yeah.
Like at Max's club. But this is it looks like an eyeball, but it's not an eyeball. I don't know what it is. What does Dead Reckoning mean?
Specific, it's specific to some degree. And maybe it has something to do with this eye patch too. Who knows?
Maybe.
I know.
Dead Reckoning. Does that mean anything to anybody? Is that a thing?
Exactly. I'm interested, you know, since then, now I thought they would call this one one thing and call the next one another thing, but they're both going to be Dead Reckoning parts one and two.
Are you sure?
But so far, that's what I mean,
that's what they called Infinity War.
Yeah, and they changed it to, you know, before it came out, Infinity War and Endgame. But I'm hoping that because we haven't seen 8 yet or anything started with that, that maybe we get some of the people from part 2 and part 3 back.
Because they have not started shooting that, right?
No, he's been training for this thing, you know, for the big stunt in that one. And he's been doing promotion for Mission Offers for Maverick. And I know that once they're done with that, that's when they go to start shooting in June, July. But I'm hoping we at least get Anthony Hopkins back or some point, you know, maybe.
You think we'll get Anthony Hopkins
back? I would love to get him back at some point. Maybe even like Thwandy Newton. You know,
get Tandiwe,
and
it would be amazing.
And John Powell, maybe get John Powell back for you know Billy.
he's not doing anything. So
he comes in flying a helicopter, saves him.
Well, I've been trying to get back on for the past 4 movies. Yeah, he's not. Him and
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers are fighting over who's flying the plane.
Yeah, you can't even tell which one of us whose accent he's doing right now. Which one am I? Am I Australian? Am I Scottish? You can't tell. Because it's such a bad.
Exactly.
So I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't either. I'm excited.
As trailers go, and it's a year out, I'm stoked. I give it a 3 out of 3 on my 3 scale. So definitely watch the trailer if you're not Travis. And if you have watched the trailer and think we missed something, email us at minuteimpossible@gmail.com. And I will talk about it in our next episodes. Yes. There are next episodes. Yes, we've taken a hiatus. Yes, our hiatus lasted forever.
Yeah, lasted all of COVID, most of COVID.
Yeah, that's what we did. We only work when Tom Cruise works. That's how it works. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So we're back in the studio,
gearing up to go again.
Yep. Record more of 3. Get through 3. Get through 3.
That's the mantra, get through three.
And once we get through 3, we can then move on to the rest of the movie. So we're super excited. So watch for updates on that. So
I am excited to see this on the IMAX screen this weekend, you know, in front of Maverick. It should be fun.
Yeah. Cause I'm going to go see Maverick this weekend too. So
yeah, yeah. I'm going Friday or Saturday. One of those days.
I mean, if you're an MI head, you should definitely go see Maverick too. Cause that looks fun as hell. So
yeah. I mean, people are calling it better than Fallout. So I got to see.
I can't wait.
I know, me too.
Let's do it. All right. Well, this is a good recap. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome, sir. We'll talk to you soon. We're going to be talking to everybody soon about Mission Impossible 3 again. Mm-hmm.
This review will self-destruct. We are the gold standard.